So here's what we know now about the Cantu case. We've got two DAs, one then, one now, both saying that if they could do it over, they would not have sought the death penalty against Ruben Cantu. We've also got the eyewitness who fingered Cantu, now saying he was innocent. For Ruben Cantu, executed 13 years ago, all of this comes too late.
But is it too late for this man? Anthony Graves sits on death row today with questions swirling around his case remarkably similar to Ruben Cantu's. He was convicted of brutal murders. There was no physical evidence linking him to the crime, only the now recanted testimony of one eyewitness.
If I'm sitting here behind the eight ball trying to convince you that I'm innocent, but you have a man in a suit and tie with a degree telling you that I'm guilty, who are you going to choose to believe?
Graves has been living here for 12 years. For prisoners on this busiest death row in America, it is a solitary life. Nothing for Anthony Graves but time. Time to think about the system that put him here.
I thought that the laws protect people like me. I'm innocent. But that wasn't the case. You know, as the case went on, I started to better understand that it wasn't even about trying to find who actually did the crime. It was about trying to convict someone of a crime. And I just happened to be the person.
In 1992, in Somerville, Texas, in a house that used to sit on this lot, six members of the Davis family were killed. A grandmother, a teenage girl, and four young children were then doused with gasoline and set on fire. A man named Robert Carter was arrested when he showed up at the Davis funeral with burns all over his face. He confessed to the crime, but police believed he must have had an accomplice, and they pressed him for another name. He gave them Anthony Graves.
The state only had one witness to place him at the scene of the crime without any additional forensic evidence to link Anthony there. Yet they staked this entire prosecution on an admitted liar.
Roy Greenwood is yet another in a long line of defense attorneys frustrated when their appeals get turned down. Greenwood is trying to get Anthony Graves off of death row.
Anthony Graves is innocent because the only person, Robert Carter, who said he was guilty, has recanted, taken back, admitted that all of those statements were lies.
After Carter testified against Graves, he told just about anyone who'd listen that Anthony Graves was innocent. He told his lawyers. He told Graves' lawyers. He did an 85-page deposition.
Your name is Robert Anthony Carter?
He even said it on video for one of Anthony Graves' appeals.
Anthony Graves did not have any part in the murders and was not present before, during, or after I committed the multiple murders at the Davis home.
And even when Robert Carter was executed on the day of his execution, before the press and God and everybody, his last statements before he was executed by the state of Texas were Anthony Graves didn't do it.
There's no doubt in my mind that Anthony Graves was involved. I'm comfortable with the evidence that we had. I'm comfortable with the evidence that we presented.
Charles Sebesta was the DA who prosecuted Anthony Graves. He acknowledges that his only eyewitness, Robert Carter, has made contradictory statements about who was involved in the murders. But he's sure Carter was telling the truth when he named Anthony Graves in court. And Sebesta was confident enough in the circumstantial evidence he had to go forward.
We were able to present a case, present the evidence we had, and the jury accepted it.
There's no fingerprint evidence. There's no forensic evidence, there's no DNA, there's no blood-stained clothing. There are not even any murder weapons. There's no physical evidence at all. Here it is.
Nicole Caceres is a journalism professor at the University of St. Thomas in Houston. She and several of her students have been looking into the Anthony Graves case for several years. She's alarmed that Graves is approaching execution on what to her feels like thin evidence.
I mean, we're supposed to reserve the death penalty for the worst of the worst. And so you would think that, you know, the state's case needs to be airtight and solid and not, you know, based on a house of cards.
Is the case against Anthony Graves solid enough? Here's where things stand. After five appeals, he is still on death row. He has just completed what may be one of his last best chances to prove that he deserves a new trial. That ruling will be out in a few months.
The final test of death row convictions has traditionally been the federal courts. According to a landmark study, between 1973 and 1995, those courts found significant problems with more than one out of every three death penalty cases they reviewed. But over the years, this crucial oversight has been sharply curtailed. Congress has streamlined what it sees as the endless appeals of death row convictions, dramatically limiting the ability of federal courts to scrutinize cases like these.
If we're going to have a death penalty, then there has to be a time when we can actually execute the person who's been convicted. But if you are going to cut off the ability of an inmate to appeal his case, then you have to be willing to say, maybe we're not going to get that evidence of innocence brought forward. Because you can't have both. You can't have finality and perfect justice.
If you get caught in the system, it is hard to prove you're innocent. If you're actually innocent, it is very hard because certain things cannot be done. Certain things cannot be reviewed. If you find out information later on in your case and you try to present it, there are all kind of technicalities to stop the courts from reviewing it. And this is your life.
The thing about the death penalty is if you get it wrong, you can't go back. It reaches a point in a capital case where it doesn't matter if you find out later that justice wasn't served. Does that disturb you, the possibility for error?
Well, I think what we have to do is look at the system. We have a system of justice where we have checks all the way through. We really do. I personally think that our system works. I don't know that we can come up with a better system.
But you and the citizens of Texas have to accept the notion that it's possible that at some rate innocent people get executed. And somehow we have to come up with a way to live with that possibility.
Well, I'm living with what I do on a day-to-day basis. And I know how hard I try to make certain that that is not the case. So I'm just have to have faith in my system is what I have.
But former DA Sam Millsap, once such a robust supporter of the death penalty, has lost his faith. Around the country, the dozens and dozens of exonerations based on DNA prove to him that the criminal justice system routinely snares innocent people. And he cites the example of the state of Illinois, where a Republican governor looked hard at a series of questionable death row convictions in his state and said, enough. He ordered a moratorium on executions.
You know, we talk about the pardon after death. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but that's not a remedy. And it's just final. And so we have to be right. We have to get it right. And if we shouldn't accept and be satisfied with a system that does anything other than guarantee that we're going to get it right.
There are people who will watch you and say, but he's had full access to the criminal justice system. There's been a trial. There have been other proceedings to try to set the record straight. And the justice system still believes that he's guilty. What is the answer to that?
Those are the people that really wants to believe in the criminal justice system. They don't want to believe that the criminal justice system is so fallible that an innocent man can go through a whole appeal process and still be executed. You know, and I understand that because I want to believe in my criminal justice system. I need to believe in it because if it actually works, then I'm going home.